What kind of mirror would you have to see your true self? That's the question that we're going to answer in this episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thanks for joining us today. We're in a series called The Six Secrets of the Christian Life. It's a practical look at how we ought to live once we've become born again. Let's go right to Bob and Sean with today's discussion. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we are going through the six secrets of the Christian life. It's a series based on Zane Hodge's book of the same name available at our website. Maybe one thing we should say is we haven't said this before, but we're just discussing it. What did he mean when Zane said secrets? Why did he use that term?
Yeah, he doesn't mean like something you have to get a secret handshake and join a special club.
This isn't secret knowledge that only we know that we're divulging to you guys.
Right. He means more like principles, and they all come from the Word of God. Each chapter we're going to look at has an anchor verse or passage that we look at. Today we're going to be anchoring on James 1:22-24. And so he's talking about six principles that are found in the Word of God. And I think the reason he calls them secrets is because there's so much confusion in evangelicalism today.
Right.
And so these things are kind of secrets in the sense that a lot of people don't understand them, but they're not really secrets. They're there for the reading.
Right there in the text.
Right.
Right. And it's really, the secrets are often about the text, too, and the power. It's about the power of the text to transform us.
I heard Zane Hodges teach a lot of these things, both during my years at Dallas Seminary and during my many years when I was in church with him at Victor Street Bible Chapel in Dallas. And I'll tell you, when I heard him teach these things, I was like, why didn't I get this before? This is simple.
Right.
This isn't complicated stuff.
No, and it shouldn't be complicated. Spirituality can be extremely complicated in different traditions, where you go for years and years and years to kind of become experts in these very esoteric and ascetic type of traditions of becoming holy by your works and breathing techniques. And
right.
Yeah, there are breathing techniques and there's ways of sitting and foods to eat on these days and foods not to eat on these other days. And there's all kinds of arcane rules and regulations. And that is not, it's really distressing to me, actually, that I see in more and more evangelical seminary curriculums when they're teaching a class on Christian spirituality. They so often go now, even in Baptist circles, evangelical circles, they so often go now to Roman Catholic authors and,
right,
and other mystical work salvation authors, and it's just so unbiblical. It's just completely made up out of nowhere. We really need to bring the church back to a biblical spirituality.
I think you're right on the money, and I think a lot of people go to the wrong places. They're looking for the teachings, as you say, of Catholic mystics or Buddhist mystics or Hindu mystics.
Yeah, how can we get these Eastern kind of... I was conversing with a Quaker who considered himself a Quaker and a Buddhist, and which is
that possible?
Is that just, it's just totally nuts. But anyway, so in the last episode, we were talking about the Scripture, the role of Scripture in our transformation. The Holy Spirit uses Scripture, and Paul compared it to a mirror. And in this mirror, it reflected the glory of the Lord. So it's like we're looking at Jesus's glory in the Scripture. And by looking at that glory, we become transformed. It's analogous to Moses's experience when he was beholding the glory of the Lord and his face was transformed and his face was shining.
Right.
And so the Scripture acts in that way for us. We see the glory of the Lord in the Scriptures, and the Holy Spirit uses that to transform us.
But there's another sense in which the Scriptures can be a mirror, too.
And that other sense we find in James chapter 1, starting at verse 22. Let me go there. He says this, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." So what's going on there?
Well, basically, I think what James is telling us is that when we hear the Word of God taught, we're seeing ourselves in the Scriptures. We're seeing ourselves being talked about. And oftentimes what we're seeing is something about us, both in terms of sinful areas, areas we fall short. But I don't think that's James's primary focus here. I think what James wants us to see is that we also see the inner man. What does he call it here? What kind of man he is? And observing his natural face. Hodges is going to go on to say that's basically the face of his birth, the face of his spiritual birth. I think what James is alluding to here is in the core of our being, we are holy. We are righteous. We are not people who sin at the core of our being. The sin is the result of our mortal bodies.
Now, wait a second. Now, you're not saying, now some very liberal Christians will say everyone is born basically good, and we're all basically good, and that's why we're all going to go to heaven. That's not what you're saying.
No, I'm talking about the spiritual birth.
You're talking about someone who is born again. You have to be born again
and
first.
And at the moment of the new birth, there are now two conflicting aspects to our life, sometimes called natures.
Mm-hmm.
The one is the flesh, sometimes called the old sin nature. That's going to be with us until we die. That's what we talked about, that we have these mortal bodies.
Right.
However, there is the inner person, the inner man, sometimes called the new man, sometimes called the new nature, and that is without sin. And we need to recognize that when we look in the Word of God, sometimes we recognize that who we are at the core of our being is righteous. Now, if we get away from church, we get away from the Bible, we may soon forget who we really are at the core of our being.
Interesting. So this mirror here is revealing what God has created in us when we first believed in Jesus for eternal life. That's what we're seeing in the Scriptures.
Right. Here's what Hodges says. He paraphrases the verse in this way. He is like a man observing the face of his birth in a mirror. And then when he goes on to talk about it, he says this is looking at our second birth. You see, most people are going to look at this section, James 1, 22 to 24, 25,
right,
and they're going to say, okay, we see our sins in the Scriptures,
right,
and we go away and we forget how sinful we are. But that's really not what James is focusing on. What he's really focusing on is our holiness,
right,
that our birthright is to live holy lives.
Mm-hmm.
That's who we are at the core of our being. We need to look at ourselves as holy people.
Right.
As righteous people. And that's what Hodges is suggesting from James 1, 22 to 24.
Very interesting. You're focusing on not all the ways that you've fallen short, but you're focusing instead on what your position in Christ, maybe all
right,
the positional truths that
right,
are true of you. And then that is based on what God has promised is true of you. You're focusing on what God has done.
Right. And one thing that's often forgotten is when you're in James 1, 22 to 24, you forget this grows right off of James 1, 18.
Mm-hmm.
Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth.
So we're born again
right,
by the word of truth.
Right.
That's the instrument of God's recreating us.
So when he talks about the face of his birth, he's talking not about his physical birth, but his James 1, 18 new birth.
Right. Oh, that's fascinating. I love that.
And it's great, a whole different perspective, but I think it's very, very powerful.
Because what happens when all you do is focus on your sins?
Yeah.
You don't really get better necessarily.
It seems to me you're singing, you know, such a wretch am I. And the truth is, yeah, we are in our flesh. We are in the old man. But that's really not who you and I are anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And if we see ourselves as essentially sinners with no power to live the Christian life, well, then we're going to experience defeat.
Right.
Victory comes as we see who we really are in the Word of God, and then we begin to realize, you know, I'm not a victim anymore.
Right.
I grew up in a very dysfunctional family, and I developed a victim mentality, and it took a long time for me to see that's not really who I am.
Right. Well, Zane says in the book, he says, from the moment of regeneration on, we have a sinless inner nature. That becomes very important in 1 John.
It does.
His teaching there about the Christian life, which we'll probably address later on.
Right. I think the other thing to point out, he cites 1 John 5:3, his commandments are not burdensome. And lots of Christians would say, wait a minute, his commandments are burdensome. Hodges' point is this, they're not burdensome to the born of God part of us, to the new nature within us. They're perfectly fitting with who we are in Christ. And so our new birth loves to obey God and loves to glorify Christ and loves to reflect Christ.
Right. So what's the perfect law of liberty here that we're supposed to look into?
I think the perfect law of liberty are the commands that the Lord Jesus gives in the New Testament and that his apostles give. And they're a law of liberty because they're not a way to be born again, and they're not even the way to be sanctified. They're really the way in which we manifest who we really are.
So when you're becoming a doer of the word, when James says be a doer, not just a hearer, what are you doing? Are you doing these laws of liberty?
And it's also called a doer of the work. You're doing what God commands, but you're not doing it out of a legalistic sense.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing it because this is natural to who you are. It's the face of your birth.
Right.
And so it seems to me, as we see ourselves in the Word of God, as we really are, well, then we become doers and not just hearers.
And if you neglect the word, if you're not looking into this mirror and you walk away and you're not hearing Bible preaching, you're not studying the scriptures, what happens? You forget.
And if you forget, well, then you're going to walk in some sort of legalistic fashion. And then you're going to stop looking to the Word of God and the Spirit of God to transform us. So the challenge for all of us is this. When you hear the Word of God taught, when you read the Word of God, do you see who you really are in Christ in the Word of God? Do you see that you're holy, that you're righteous, that at the core of your being, you're sinless? There's a day coming soon when Jesus will return, and you'll be made just like Him, and you'll never sin again, and you'll still be you, but you'll be the real you forever. Right now, we need to see that that's who we really are, and that will have and a transformative impact on our daily living.
Thanks to Bob and Sean for that great discussion in this series that we're calling The Six Secrets of the Christian Life. Now, you may know this, but we have a book called The Six Secrets of the Christian Life, and it would be a great companion for this series. In fact, you can get your own copy of that book on our website, faithalone.org. Just go to faithalone.org, click on the store, and you can find this very book. It'll help you out tremendously. Now, while you're on the site, we've got all kinds of other stuff for you, all kinds of free resources. We've got a free subscription to our print magazine. It comes out 6 times a year, full color, beautifully laid out. You can also get a free subscription to our blog posts. They'll show up right in your email inbox. You can even get a free subscription to this very radio show on the podcast service of your choice. So take advantage of all of these and more right there on faithalone.org. You might be interested in becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If that's the case, you can find out how to do that as well on the website. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about living in the light. It's going to be interesting, so tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.